All right, we want to praise the Lord on this Wednesday night, January the 4th, 2023. Another year the Lord's given us, a year of opportunity. I'd like for this to be a fruitful year, a faithful year. I'd like to see people get saved. Praying early this morning, God help us to find them lost souls and get them saved. Help them to find their way to church. Help them find their way to Calvary. Help them to understand the Bible. We'd like to see lost people come to know the Lord. All right, you just got the message.
Am I late?
No.
We sent you a message, it's late.
Well, I had company, and I said, Lisa, hon. She said, oh, you're going to church.
Well, that's good.
I said, yeah, I might be a little late. She said, no, I'm leaving. Go on.
Amen.
Bless her heart. She's a sweetheart anyway.
All right.
I thought Sarah and her mom was going to be here. I took them out for breakfast this morning, but they, I don't know, they're slacking on us.
Well, we want to praise the Lord.
Yes.
For I guess this will be the first Wednesday of 2023.
Yes.
We finished out last year. We was in Acts chapter 4. We'll be starting out this year also in Acts chapter 4. We stopped at verse 22. We'll sing a little short song here. Song number 159, The Sweetest Name.
Yes, it is.
And a member of there was talking about getting saved on the way over here. And I'm just like him. I just ain't never got over it. And that name Jesus, it still brings me to tears just to thinking what all he had to put up with.
Oh, my goodness.
Just so I could get saved. You know what?
159, I
say. 159, yeah. The Lord had to put up with, you know, my
goodness.
Lord, my language, he had to put up with the sins that I was committing. He had to put up with... you know how stubborn I was, but the long-suffering love of God did win out, and I am glad that I did come to know the Lord as my Savior, know Him personally. And He is the sweetest name I know. Amen?
Yes, yes.
Number 159. There is a name I love to hear. I can't even sing this thing. Hold on a minute. There is a name I love to hear. I love to... Well, come on, Brother Eddie.
There is a name I love
to hear. I'm too low, wasn't I? I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Let's sing that last verse. This name shall shed its fragrance still along this thorny road. Shall sweetly smooth the rugged hill that leads me up to God. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Well, I'm glad He did first love me, man.
Yeah, that's right.
Bible said here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be propitiation for our sins.
Yeah.
God's all about love.
Water, huh?
Oh, my. He's all about love. We got some people here who want to remember in prayer. I want to remember Ashley tonight. I hadn't seen her in a while. And I remember her and Carter and Keaton. And I want to remember little Sarah. I was praying for little Sarah this morning. Had a swimming accident. And just got a list of people here. James Duke, James Dugard, I believe that's right. Need to remember him. Need to remember Donnie's daughter, Chelsea. Got two little granddaughters, Adeline, Rosalie, Faith, and Brother Ed's granddaughter, Sonny. Little Tatum came with Rita and Harvey's wife. And Richard and Tracy came last year, January the 23rd. They just kind of showed up here, and it was good to have them here. We want to say a quick prayer for these needs here. Father, we come to you, Lord, this first Wednesday night, 2023. Just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Brenda showing up here, Lord. Just a blessing, Father. Me and Brother Ed, so glad to see her here, Lord. Pray you bless her. Pray for her daughter, Becky. Lord, she said something about Becky might be coming with her. Lord, we're just excited about that. Lord. We pray you'll help Becky, Lord, to do more, Lord, than think about it. I pray she'd put feet on that, Lord. I pray she'd show up and get a blessing. Lord, we pray for Becky. I pray, Lord, Father, for Beverly, needs prayer. Pray for Levi, Edge, needs prayer. Pray for Jeff, needs prayer. I pray, Lord, for Brother Mark Hurt and his wife, Kay. Pray, Father, Lord, for Sister Joanne. Yeah. I pray, Lord, for Sarah's niece and her nephew. Pray for Patrick's dad, Brother Ronnie Lindsay. I pray for Sarah's mother, Christina. I pray for Ashley and her two boys, Carter and Keaton. We miss them. I pray, Lord, Father, for little Sarah, Lord, that had a swimming accident. Yeah. We pray for her. Pray for little Maverick. Pray for little Eli. Pray for Lord Mitchell and Phyllis and a sister, Bessie. Lord, I pray for Brother Donnie, his daughter, Chelsea, Adeline, and Rosalie Faith, his granddaughters. Pray, Lord, for Sonny, Brother Ed's granddaughter. Pray for Tatum. I pray, Lord, Father, for Rita. I pray, Lord, Father, for James Dugard and Richard Tracy. I pray, Lord, Father, for James and Patty. I pray for Denny and Sue. Pray, Lord, Father, for Lord Sharon. She's got some tests coming up. Pray for her. Pray for Sybil. Lord, I pray for Sister Carolyn's foot. She said her foot was giving her some problems. And, Lord, we just thank God for Carolyn and Jerry. Pray, Lord, you'd help her with that foot. And, Lord, help Sister Joanne to get well. I pray for Brother Eric. Lord, we love Brother Eric. We miss him. I hope he gets the feeling better. I pray for Joe. Pray for Rita. I pray, dear Father, Lord, for James and Star and James Jr. Pray for Jordan and Casey. I pray for Miranda, Mark, Caitlin, and Tavian. I pray for Larry and Carol and Serenity and Levi. Lord, we pray, dear Father, Lord, for all of ours, Lord, Danny and Tammy and little Thomas. Lord, little Adlin and Brother Landon. I believe that's right, Lord. Just all of our young people, Lord. We're so thankful to have so many young people here, Lord. Yes, Lord. We pray, Lord, Father, for Patrick and Sarah. Lord, little Lucy, Chase. Pray for Jake. Pray for Micah. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for our young people, Lord. Bless our youth, Lord. We praise God for that. And Lord, we pray for our country, Lord. I'm watching, Lord, our government, Lord, and I can tell they're using caution, and I commend them for it. And I can tell they're not in a hurry, and I also commend them for that. But I pray, God, Lord, they would stick to the stuff. I pray they wouldn't marginalize their decisions. I pray they'd be determined to do that which is right. Yeah. Lord, it may take a while, but I'm thankful, Lord, that they're not just going, Lord, with just any whim. Lord, they're digging their heels in, so we're not going to do that. And help our government, Lord. They might Lord, do that which is right in the sight of God, man. Lord, I pray for that football player. I don't even like sports. I don't know much about them at all. But that young man, Lord, that collapsed. I saw that football field full of people on their knees praying for that young boy. And I got a blessing seeing people taking a knee on the football field. It wasn't in protest. It wasn't protesting the anthem. It wasn't Black Lives Matter protesting. It was people concerned about a young boy, 28-year-old,
yeah.
Lord, fighting for his life.
Yeah.
And Lord, I'd like for you to spare him. I'd like for you to let him live. And I pray he'd be a blessing to those that prayed for him.
Yes.
And I pray he'd have a testimony, Lord, that would shake the world. I pray he would give Lord, give a testimony, Lord, give some indication, Lord, to God, letting him live and not be ashamed to tell the truth. I pray, God, Lord, this nation could somehow do like those players did on that field and bow their knee to the one that inhabits eternity and turn their heart to him.
Yes.
I'd like to see America do an end of a repentance from the White House to the Lord, to the military, to the police, the firemen, Lord, all the Congress, senators, legislators, judges, mayors, and governors. I'd like to see them all, Lord, concerned about giving account to God and willing, Lord, to ask for forgiveness. I pray for that, Lord, and bless your churches, Lord. I know a lot of them are still struggling, Lord, to keep the doors open, keep the lights on, but I pray, dear God, Lord, that they would in faith, Lord, keep going for God. I pray, Lord, you bless them, Lord, and help them, Lord, not to slow down, not to give up. But Lord, I pray they'd continue, Lord, and be a blessing and be fruitful and be faithful in the work of God. And we ask you all these things in Jesus' name, thanking and praise you for what you always, Lord, are willing to do. You're willing, Lord, to bless even when we don't even deserve it. You send blessings our way. We thank you for that. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. One thing we can do, we can pray. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
I got a blessing. I'm not kidding you. I wasn't really even concerned about that young boy until I saw all those people on that field praying. And that got my attention. And I tell you right now, that's the kind of thing I like to see.
Yeah.
I like to see people earnestly.
That's right.
Praying, they were. They wasn't trying to draw attention. They was humbly bowing their head, asking God, let this boy live. We stopped in Acts chapter 4, verse 22. And that verse says, for the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And verse 20 said that that's not the one I'm talking about. Verse 20. They couldn't find fault.
Right.
They couldn't find no reason to do anything. And Peter and John, they done a good job. They said, we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. And the Sanhedrin, Pharisees, they had to let it go. This was bigger than Peter and John. This man on whom this miracle was done, there just wasn't no way to speak against it. Verse 23 says, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And they brought back a good report. They were released. And verse 24, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. You know, first thing they did when they heard this report, they lifted up their voice to God and they start giving glory to God.
That's right.
You know, any church that ever hopes to be anything has to do what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Peter and James didn't take no glory. They just brought the report. When they went to their own company, they reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said unto them. They didn't take no glory. That'd be vainglory.
No.
And when those other apostles had heard this report, they lifted up their voice to God, Brenda, with one accord, and said, Lord, Thou art God. And see, Jesus talked about when He's lifted up, He draw all men to Him. And they're lifting Him up right here.
Yeah.
They lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. One of my prayers that I pray all the time for this church is that God would bless our song leader, Brother Jerry.
Yeah.
And we don't have a choir, but I still pray that one day we'll have a choir. But that God would bless our song leader, our choir, our special singers, and our congregational singing, that we lift up our voices on high and give God glory and praise and song. And that's what we need to do as a church. That's what this church is doing. This is the new church. They're just getting started. I mean, they're just about as infant as can be. And they're lifting up their voice and they're giving praise and glory to God. Then they go a little further in verse 25. They said, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage? That's quoting out of Psalms chapter 2. And the people imagine vain things. And again, still quoting out of Psalms chapter 2. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. And that's what they're doing. They're just remembering what God said there in Psalms chapter 2. Verse 27 says, for of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod was the king, and Pontius Pilate, he was the governor, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. In other words, they're saying, Lord, your word was fulfilled and what they done with your son Jesus.
Before you go any farther, tell Brenda about the what they're doing over in Israel with the pool.
Yeah, over in Israel.
It was on the news.
Yeah, over in Israel, they've remodeled, redone, whatever, the pool of Siloam, where Jesus told that boy was born blind.
Yeah.
He made spittle, put it on his eyes, told him to go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and he came back seeing. And that pool of Siloam, they've redone it, and it's open to the public. It's over an acre. The pool itself is over an acre in size. And what they used it for was to wash the sacrificial lambs, the sacrificial sacrifices. They washed them before they took them into the temple to offer them to God.
Yeah.
And here's why that's significant. Let me see if I can find this. Daniel chapter number 9.
Yeah.
So
where's that?
Daniel chapter number 9.
And I tell you what, I just praise God that you're... You know, Trump started this whole thing when he took the embassy back over there anyway. And he started this whole thing. That means that we're so close to going home, it's unbelievable now. Do you know that?
It'll
make you happy.
In Daniel chapter number 9, it talks about 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, anoint the most holy. Listen to this. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, the wall and the wall, even in troublous times. I read that out of Daniel chapter number 9, verse 24-25. Mm-hmm. And you know, that redoing that pool of Siloam is pretty significant.
Yes, it
kind of lets you know we're getting close to getting out of here.
Amen.
Me and Brother Ed, we was talking about that also. We were talking about how good it's going to be to get out. Amen. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but it's looking so bad, I'd kind of like to get on out right now, amen.
Right, just take me on out of here.
But here they are again saying that God's will was done in the sacrifice of Jesus. He said, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done.
Yeah.
Verse 29, they said, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. You see, this little infant church, it's getting some persecution.
Yes, it is.
The world is seeing the church doing the miracles that Jesus did, and hated Jesus.
Yeah.
Even the miracles, it took away, they were selfish. They wanted all the attention. It took away the attention from them and put it on Jesus, and they was wanting to get rid of him. Well, Peter and John done healed this impotent man at the temple there, Solomon's temple. And verse 29, they said, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. All they want is just more power to be able to do the work that God left them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 30, it says, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, I want to stop right there, because see, they done what they're supposed to do.
Yes.
They're praying, they're asking God for power, they're asking God for His help, that they might be able to speak the word of God with boldness. And here comes the Holy Ghost, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
And with that, they spake the word of God with boldness.
Yeah.
Now, when we finish out this chapter, it's going to take a turn for the worse. But I want you to know this church is up on its feet.
Yeah.
It's getting going. It's gaining momentum.
Yeah.
Every work of God that I've ever seen, if it ever gets up and gets going, you can count on the devil to show up and try to cause problems.
Oh, yeah.
And I never seen it like it. One thing that sticks out in my mind, back when we were young, I've been saved 34 years, somewhere probably in the neighborhood of 33 years ago, we'd be over at Bethel. I mean, one of them good services. I mean, just shout, tears, snot, and everything.
Yeah.
Come outside, Brother Ed, we'd get in the car. And it wasn't 3 minutes we was fighting over whoever was going to go eat it. But I mean, that's just the way it is.
That's right.
The Bible talks about, you know, that the devil, he lies in wait. He's like a serpent. He just wants an opportunity to cause problems. You know, one time it was so obvious, I finally caught up with it. I said, hey, hold on a minute, everybody. I said, just a minute ago, we was praising God.
Yeah.
And now we're fighting over what we're going to get. And we all laughed when we all saw what was going on.
Yeah.
And they said, we don't care. Let's just go anywhere. But, you know, that's the way the devil is.
Oh,
this church is getting up. The place that they're in where they've been praying, the Holy Ghost shows up. It's shaken. They're filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
They're speaking the word of God with boldness. Verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. And I'll just tell you, that is the goal. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Let me take me a minute to get here.
That's okay.
In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul here is speaking to the church at Ephesus. And I'll just start verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that will henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You see, the goal is unity. The goal is that we all speak the same thing, that we all believe the same thing, and it's easy and hard at the same time.
Yeah, that's right.
If you have a standard, like our country, the Constitution was our standard, and our country's kind of under attack right now, so they come up with civil rights. Yeah. Now, civil rights and constitutional rights, they can't go together. Mm-mm. And you can't have civil rights for someone and constitutional rights for another, so I have to forfeit my constitutional rights so they can have their civil rights. Well, that's kind of the way a standard is. If the standard is not the Word of God, then it's your opinion, or it's my opinion,
yeah,
or someone else's opinion. That's why the unity, you have to have a standard, and you have to adhere to it, and you have to realize without that standard, you can't have unity.
Right.
That's how you speak the same thing and believe the same thing. And you know, I don't have to be dogmatic about it, but I will tell you this, the devil knows, he's the author of confusion. He knows how to cause problems. And here they were, and they're of one heart, they're of one soul, and would to God they could stay that way. But I said, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. They got weaned off the world. Brother Ed was telling me on the way over tonight that he wasn't even interested in things of the world no more. And boy, I tell you what, that's a great accomplishment. Get out of that old worldly mind. Let go of them old worldly things and seek after those things of God. And lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. But when you can get weaned off of the things of the world, that's what they are here. Man, they don't even care about their possessions.
No.
None of them says, not any of them of all the things which he possessed was his own. And they had all things common. There wasn't no mine. It was like, I don't care. Man, I'll tell you, they were full of the Holy Ghost. Verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And great grace was upon them all. There are people even today that don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead.
Right.
And the Muslims, they say the only thing we've got to glory in is an empty tomb. I'm sitting there thinking, what's your point? I mean, here, there, Muhammad, he's there in the ground and rotting. And we got an empty tomb, and they said, that's all we got to glory of. I'll glory about that empty tomb any day of the week, amen.
That's right.
Hey, because he got up, glory to God, I get up. I'll just tell you right now, our God is not the God of the dead.
Uh-uh.
He's the God of the living.
Amen.
Jesus told Martha in John chapter 11, Brenda, he said, I am the resurrection.
That's right.
And she'd been a good Baptist, you know. She said, Lord, I know that my brother arise in the resurrection. But he cleared that matter right up, buddy.
Yes, he did. Come forth, lad.
Yeah, he showed her what that meant.
That's right.
Jesus, here in John chapter 11, he said unto Martha, verse 23, he said, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now she's a Jew now.
Yeah.
Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, and I do, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Right.
And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So that went way over her head.
Yeah, it did.
And it probably goes over people's head today. But the one that says this is the one that cannot lie. He said, whosoever liveth, and I am alive. I'll vouch for it. I don't have an obituary yet. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me, talking about Jesus himself,
yes,
shall never die. I couldn't die if I wanted to.
No, that's right.
And all he asked Martha to do was believe it. He said, believest thou this? And her answer is, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, Son of God, which had come into the world. But I'll tell you what, when he had raised up Lazarus from the dead, I think she finally understood what he's talking about.
Yes,
you know, the Lord, he had no restraint. He could do anything he wanted. He didn't have to have permission. He didn't have to have no help. I'm talking about, but he showed himself as God while he was here. But there's people today that do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. A lot of preachers, a lot of pastors don't. But here it says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. They were witnesses of his resurrection. And that's mentioned in the, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, talks about seeing 500 one time to all the apostles. Last of all, Paul said, seen of me, seen of Peter first. But they gave great witness of that resurrection. You see, if the Lord hadn't got up from the dead, they wouldn't have been excited. They wouldn't have been like they are. But here they are. I mean, but they're on cloud nine. Verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked.
Right.
Now, boy, that's quite an accomplishment right there. We gave out a lot of food baskets a while back. And I praise God we was able to do what we was able to do.
Yeah.
But you know we was able to do that because we had abundance. I look back over the last year and the Lord sent his disciples out, and when he sent them out, Brent, he said, lack you anything? They said, no, we didn't lack nothing. And you know the Lord promised to supply our needs out of his riches and glory. Not our wants, but our needs.
Amen.
And here they are. And neither was there any among them that lacked. They had everything that they needed, everything they wanted. For as many as were possessions or possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. Now you're talking about getting the world out of their system.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just letting go of the worldly possessions that they have. They're focusing on heavenly things. They laid them down at the apostles' feet.
Yeah.
And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. I don't never see that ever happening in the world we're living in right now.
No.
But if it could, immediately there'd be no more people on the street. There'd be no more hungry people. There'd be no more naked people. I'm always compelled to try to help people. Mm-hmm. And so far, I haven't been stabbed or shot yet, but I'll pick them up. I don't care how bad they look, how bad they smell. And I'll try to tell them about the love of God. I remember picking this one guy up. His name was Steve. He'd spent the night in a barn. Had cuckoo barrels all over him. Him and his buddies, they'd got into some trouble, and his buddies ended up getting put in jail. And for some reason or another, they let Steve go. And he was out there where the Red Barn is, out there on Highway 31E, and he was walking down the road. And I was in that old junky truck, and I pulled over, and I said, you need a ride? He said, yes, sir. Young boy got in my truck, and I said, what's your name? He said, my name's Steve. And I said, well, Steve, I got an extra sausage and biscuit from Hardy's right there if you want. And he said, he hadn't eaten nothing, step in the barn. Mm. And I said, there's a Coke in that cooler there if you want it. And he drank that Coke and ate that sausage and biscuit. And I said, Steve, the Lord didn't just give you a ride, but I said, he gave you something to eat. I'm working on him.
Yeah.
We start up, I'm going to Indiana to pick up some Flint. He lives in Lexington, Kentucky. And I took 31E, Brother Ed, right there to right above Glendale. I don't remember the exact exit, but I'm going to turn left and go on the other side of Elizabethtown. He could go and turn right. I think it's a bluegrass. I'm not sure. Goes towards Lexington.
Yeah.
But anyway, we pulled over right there. And I already had it in my mind I was going to give him some money. And I was going to give him a $20 bill, Brenda. And the Lord, he superseded my faults. And told me that he wanted me to give this young boy a $100 bill. And old Flesh and old Brother Eddie, I have to admit I wasn't on board with that. And even though I had $300 or $400 bills in the glove compartment, I wasn't on board with giving Steve a $100 bill. But the Lord won. He won.
That's right.
I gave up. Yeah. We pulled over up there and I said, Steve, you got any money? He said, no, sir, I don't. And I said, well, the Lord put it in my heart. I said, I was going to give you a $20 bill. And the Lord's told me to give you a $100 bill, help you get home. And he started crying. And I said, Steve, I want to have a word of prayer with you before I let you out. And I handed him that $100 bill and I bowed my head. I said, Lord, I picked this young boy up. I said, I've done my best to help him. And Lord, I'm just praying for him. You help him get home safely, get home to his family. He worked at Lowe's and in Lexington. Lord, help him get home, get to his job. Lord, I just pray your blessings on him. Got done praying for that young boy and looked and had blue lights in my rearview mirror and looked out my driver's door and there's a policeman got a gun on me. And I said, officer, I'm just having a word of prayer with this young man, just trying to help him. He said, prayer? He said, I thought y'all was dealing drugs or something. I said, no, sir. I'm just trying to help him, sir. Just picked him up on the side of the road trying to help him get home. And the policeman kind of got the cussing, got in the car and left. But I really, truly was trying to help this young boy.
Yeah.
Well, that's what these apostles are doing right here. They laid down their possessions.
Yeah.
And they laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Steve, he needed a ride.
Yes.
He hadn't eaten nothing. He needed something to eat. And I'm trying to talk to him about the Lord. And he said he was a Christian. And I was just trying to show him how God had helped him that day.
That's right.
And $100 bill, I'll tell you, I could see it in his eyes. He's never going to forget that. But, you know, let me finish that story. I went up there and picked up some flint that day on the way back home. My phone rung. And it was this guy I know that makes arrowheads. And he said, Eddie, got any flint? I said, yeah, I just picked some up. He said, good. Meet me at Mumfordville. He said, I need $100 worth. He gave me that $100 bill back. And I realized then, I said, Lord, why didn't you just tell me you wanted to borrow it? I'd have been more on board. But, you know, God gave me that $100 bill back before I got back home.
Yeah.
And here I was in the flesh resisting the Holy Spirit of God. I'm just still trying to learn the things of God. Like I said, if we could distribute, there'd be no more nakedness. There'd be no more people on the street. There'd be no more hunger. There'd be people getting the help they need. I was listening to radio today. Boy, I got a lot of liberty up here tonight.
Blessing God.
I was listening to radio today, and this woman was getting her hair fixed at a hair salon. And you know how women are. They get to talking. I'm married one. I know what I'm talking about. But the girl that was getting her hair done was talking to the lady that owned this hair salon place about supporting, I think it was a Muslim widow. I believe it's right now. But it was a widow, and I think it was a Muslim widow. And the way this works is when the husband dies, his family comes, takes everything. They take every possession out of the house. Mm-hmm. All the food, everything. They come in because, see, the husband is the sole provider. So when he died, they come in, they took everything out of the house. Mm-hmm. And what she did is she was telling her, she said, I found this program where you can sponsor these widows. And it's real cheap. And she sponsored one for like 2 years for little nothing. And she was so convincing to the owner of this hair salon, she asked her where this place was. She went up there and sponsored four for 2 years. But you see, that love that God puts in our heart, it constrains us to try to see that one that's hungry, to try to see that one that's hurting, that one, you know, that's in need. That love of God. Paul talked about the love of God constrained him. Here they are, and they're making distribution to every man according as he had need. You know, they wasn't selfish. They were just saying, you know, here, you take this.
Yeah, that's right.
Verse 36, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite,
yeah,
and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, I don't know how much money it was. We don't need to know.
No.
But he said he sold it, and he bought the money and put it down there. And I guess he said, do whatever needs to be done with this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this next chapter here, it takes a different turn.
Yeah.
And the reason this takes a different turn is you have this kind of people also. And it said, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Now, the selling of their possession is okay, that next verse, and kept back part of the price. That's what shouldn't be here. They kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it. You see, they hadn't really got all the world out.
Mm-mm.
Now these apostles, they got it all out.
That's right.
They sold everything they had, and they gave it all away. None lacked nothing. They distributed it to every man that had need. Now here's Ananias and Sapphira, and they definitely Baptists, kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now listen, you want to do something like this, you don't want to lay it at the apostles' feet. We just read Peter, he's filled the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, here they are, the place is shaking, they're shouting.
Yeah.
And here they come, and they've made an agreement, they're just going to give part. They didn't even have to give any.
Mm-mm.
But they made an agreement to keep part of it, and to bring a certain part of it and lay it at the apostles' feet.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Now I can just see Ananias' face right here. He's got caught. He shouldn't have done what he did. But he followed through. He didn't just think about it. He followed through and he did it. And here Peter is. Peter's picked up on it because he's got the Holy Ghost of God. I've met people who could pretty much read between the lines. Well, Peter here, through the Holy Ghost, he's confronting Ananias. Verse 4, he said, while it remained, was it not thine own? You know, you need to be careful when it comes to God.
That's right.
You know, you can short me and Brother Ed, we ain't going to hunt you down. But when you short God, since everything belongs to God anyway, and when you short God, not only do you insult God and what you do, but in this case it come with a terrible price. Peter says to Ananias, while it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. You see, Ananias, he took it too far. The Bible says there's a sin unto death. I believe it's in 1 John. Let's see if I can find that. I went way too far. In 1 John chapter 5, let's go verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. And he says, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. And, you know, that sin unto death. Here Ananias is. And Peter said, you've not lied unto men, but unto God.
Mm-hmm.
And this sin that Ananias has done, he might not have realized how severe it was, or he might have been so selfish. He didn't really care. I don't know.
Right.
But it says, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost.
Yeah.
And great fear came upon all that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up, carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours. His wife was 3 hours late.
Yeah.
When his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Now, what happened in Ananias is bad. His wife comes in and she's continually playing this deception here. And Peter answered unto her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." She said, "Yeah, so much." Peter said unto her, she said, "Yea, for so much." Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that you've agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out." Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. I wish this wasn't in the Bible, what we just read right here, but yet it needs to be in here. It needs to be in here so we won't do what Ananias and Sapphira done. The Bible says God desires truth in the inward parts. And you know, you just can't hide nothing from God. They can see this plan as bad as it was. They agreed together to keep back part and pretend that they were given the full price of what they wanted, the praise of men, not the praise of God. And the disciples, the apostles, they done that which is right. They got the praise of God. They got the blessing of God. And Ananias and Sapphira, they got buried side by side. And a great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. You know, it's a sad commentary to read about Ananias and Sapphira. I just wonder how many episodes like that goes on even today in churches. I wonder how many today that think, you know, they can play church or you know, they can pretend. You know, one thing I'd like to be known as, that'd be real. Yeah, I'd like right. to be known as real. I may not ever be a great preacher. May not ever get a lot done. But I would like to be known that I was real. That people could say, "I'll tell you one thing about old Brother Eddie, he's real."
That's right.
You know, Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't really care. To get the praise of men, they lost their life.
Yeah.
Sad. Yeah. Anybody got any word on the teaching? We're going to stop right there. I didn't mean to go as far as I did. Just couldn't stop without finishing that out about his wife.
Yeah, no, that was good.
All right.